Ephesians chapter 1, commencing at the verse number 1. And as we have the Word of God open before us, let us just seek the face of God at His throne in prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, and commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's bow our heads before the Lord, seek the face of God. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee for the Word of God that we can stand upon. For Lord, we thank Thee we have a sure place in the precious and infallible truth of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for an open Bible tonight. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will give us help in the proclamation of Thy truth. And we pray that some precious soul, even tonight in the service, may say, I'll anchor my soul in the haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. We pray that You'll bring the prodigal home. Pray that our God, those that have wandered far from Thee, that Heavenly Father, that Thou will bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we ask of Thee that You'll bless all our sister congregations. And as the Word of God is preached, we pray that there might be signs following the ministry of Thine infallible truth. And to this end, I trust You, Lord, for power. And for Thy power it cannot fail, for the words that Thou this night shall give me shall and must prevail. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And we know that God Himself will add His blessing to the reading of His Word, for Jesus' sake. Verse number 7 is the verse that I want to draw your attention to this evening. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Some years ago in the United States of America, in the city of New York, there was a man that was down in the depths and the gutters of sin, and God gloriously and wonderfully saved him. And when the Lord saved him, He changed his life. And God took him up and used him for the glory and the honor of His name. Sometime after that, the man was drawing near to the end of the journey. And he was making his arrangements for his death and his eternity. And he was telling his loved ones. He said, when I die, I want you to put on my tombstone alongside the date of my birth and the name and the date of my death, I want you just simply to put one word. And the one word I want you to include on my tombstone at the bottom of my name, date of birth and date of death, is simply this. The one word is forgiven. Forgiven. And what a wonderful truth it is tonight that every one of us that who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ can rejoice in that fact that we are forgiven. But I want us to notice tonight just exactly what the Spirit of God is telling us concerning the subject of forgiveness. The Spirit of God would draw to our attention something about a wonderful subject, what it is to be forgiven. But I want you to understand the wonder of that great truth. In this verse number 7, here's the words again. in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now tonight we want to move along because we want to allow our young people to be able to get out, those who have made it to God's house, to get to the youth service down in the Bridewell. But I want you to notice there are five simple things in this verse that the Spirit of God is drawing to my attention as I've studied it afresh. First of all, I want you to notice the inescapable reality here. In one word, sins. Sins. You know, the reality today is this, that the pulpits are silent about man's sin. It seems to be that man is no longer confronted with the reality of his sin. And yet whenever we think of that word sins and our sins, that reality is only far too familiar for us. But there's not one in this gathering tonight but must have to confess that I have sinned. And my sins are a reality in my life. The slime of the serpent has been upon us. And every one of us tonight are affected by the reality of sin. And as we think about the adder in the path that biteth at the heels, and as we think about the fiery serpents in the wilderness, it will be our daily trial till we enter into the promised land. Because, friend, sin is ever present with us. If I was to climb to the highest mountain, I cannot escape from it. If I were to go to the depths of the deepest valley, yet the reality of sin is ever around me. If I was to take the wings of the morning, and I was to fly to the furthest parts of the sea, yet, my friend, sin will follow me. And so there's nothing more important than for me to understand what it is to have my sins dealt with and my sins blotted out and my sins forgiven. I think of David whenever he said these words. He said, I acknowledge my sin. He said, against thee, thee only. He's caught talking to God and he's broken by his sin. And because of a sin, and whenever he thinks about his grievous sin, that he has sinned against God. Yes, he sinned against his family, and he sinned against his nation, and he sinned against his own heart. But oh, friend, he cried this out. He said, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. And friends, he was conscious that his sin was an awful thing in the sight of God. And his heart was breaking. His heart was breaking as Nathan the prophet came to him. And he said to him, thou art the man. The sin that I'm talking about, David, is the sin of thine own heart. And in repentance and in brokenness, he cried out, O God, against thee only have I sinned. Friend, you've sinned against the righteous. And you've sinned against a holy God. You know, sin's a little word, just simple, three simple little letters. But oh, the abyss of the meaning of it. The Catechism puts it like this, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. In the commandments, God says, thou shalt. And yet in reality, man misses the mark. Because no matter how much he tries, he falls short. The Bible says that we have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And yet man must look into the face of a righteous and a holy God and say, oh God, thou hast said thou shalt. But God, I can't. I can't. Because no matter how much I try, I'm a failure. No matter how much I try my best, oh God, I can't reach your standard. I can't reach your mark. Oh God, I fall short. Because sin is missing the mark. And then God says, thou shalt not.
And yet, friend, when God tells us we shall not, yet man says, God, I will. And man is in rebellion against God. And man is living in lawlessness against a righteous and a holy God. And when we turn to the book of Romans chapter 3, we see our hearts. It says there is none righteous, verse 10. Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Yes, friend, our sins. Oh, when we think of our sins, the sins of our childhood, oh, the mountain of our sin, and the sins of our youth, oh, the mountain of our sins that are against the righteous and the holy God, the sins of our manhood or womanhood, the sins of our older age, and then the old age itself, what a mountain of sins. Stand against us. And what did David say? He said, God, my sin's ever before me. It's ever present with me, Lord. And then God says, the wages of your sin is death. Friend, an inescapable reality. Man said, you would think, you know, when we think about such a mountain of sin that's against us, we would think that man would be afraid. Realize the awfulness of our sin against God. That man would fear to even think about God and fear to meet God. And yet the Bible says that the fools, they make a mock at sin. And instead of man being afraid because of a sin, it seems to be that his feet run towards the sin because he loves the sin. He embraces the sin. And oh, it's a serpent that will bite him and destroy him. And the poison of sin will damn us in all a Christless eternity. Yet the reality is this, that man makes a mock of it. He thinks that he can sin. Yet God can do nothing about it. He thinks that he could sin and that somehow he'll get away with it. And yet God says, be not deceived. For God says, I'm not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. An inescapable reality. Friend, let me tell you, if that was the end of the story, it would be tragedy. Think of a man lying down in death, dying in his sin, friend, and going out into the darkness. Would to God the day he had never been born, to close his eyes and the shutters fall down, and for God to say, like he said to the rich man, he said, tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. Friend, he didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to die. But God says, thy soul's required. And the God who gave is the God who'll take away. There is no greater tragedy. And yet men and women mock at their sin. They realize that in a moment they could be cut off and taken out into God's eternity. Friend, but listen, there is no thought of God. There is no fear of God. There is little consciousness of God in their lives. And they live and they die and they go to hell, not only doomed but damned. Inescapable reality. Secondly, the inexhaustible redemption. in whom we have redemption through his blood. No man of himself, when God says, I shall, man can't. Because you see, man of himself, friend, that's you and me, in our sinful nature, we are a slave to sin. We are in the bondage of our sin. Many a man has come to me and as a preacher and by their lives are caught up with booze or some other sin of the flesh and they've stood in my presence and they've cried and they've said to me, preacher, I have tried. God knows I've tried, but it has beaten me again. And the reality is this, they are a slave. They are a slave to their sin. And then they talk about, I want to live in freedom. And yet they're in total bondage by their sin and off their sin. But thank God freedom's possible. Thank God there is redemption through his blood. In John chapter 8, 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The word redemption, to buy back, the word redemption, setting free by paying a price. You know, in the Old Testament, let me tell you this. In the Old Testament, there were two means of redemption. There was one redemption by power. And the other was redemption by price. And if you go to the book of Exodus, you will see there redemption by power. Now you'll read the story how that the children of Israel were down there in Egypt and they were in bondage. And their hearts were breaking. And they were slaves in Egypt and they couldn't break the bondage of the Egyptians from off their back. And they cried to God. And then God, in a wonderful way, stepped in and God provided a way of redemption. That God would set them free by his power and the power of the blood. And God said to the children of Israel, he said, listen, this night is a night of nights. It's the beginning of days for you because, you see, this night the death angel is going to pass through the land of Egypt. And when the death angel passes through, he said, listen, I want you to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And then I want you to gather your family in because God says, listen, every home where the blood's not applied, the death angel will enter and take the firstborn. The firstborn son will die. And I can see that father taking, that Israelite father taking the lamb and shedding the blood and applying the blood to the door. I can see the little boy standing there, the eldest son standing out and said, Daddy, what's that for? And he said, son, the death angel is passing through tonight. And there's only one place of safety. It's under the blood. And God's going to deliver us tonight. God's going to set us free. We have been in bondage. But God's going to set us free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you know, friends, the Father applied the blood to the doorpost and the lintels of the door. And then the Father took his Son by the hand and he said, Son, come inside, Son. And I'm shutting the door. And you know what God has said? God says the death angel will pass through. But God says, when I see the blood, I'm going to stand guard. I'm going to stand guard over you. And so we're safe tonight. Pour up. Well, the death angel had come, friend. The death angel then entered into every home where there was no blood applied. And I hear the cries of the Egyptian's mother for their tears are just like yours or mine. And she begins to weep, for her child is gone, because they're not under the blood. And God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, friend, by power, through the blood. The other book in the Old Testament is the book of Ruth. And if you read the story about Ruth, friend, you'll find that she was redeemed by price. Because there was the price paid by the kinsman redeemer. And friend, tonight as we gather in this place, you know, whenever we think of the astronomical price that was paid for our redemption, who can comprehend the price that was paid, the blood of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. And thank God we're redeemed tonight, not with corruptible things of silver and gold. Oh, for the power of the blood. And tonight we gather in God's house and you say to me, preacher, is there a place of redemption for me? Is there a place of freedom for me? How can the chains of my sin be broken? Thank God there is freedom through the blood. The blood of Christ. There wasn't another good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Freedom. Oh, freedom from a guilty past. There's not one in this house tonight that has got a past. And I'll tell you, there's not one in this house tonight of God that has a past that you'd be proud of. Because let me tell you, friend, there's sins in that past that you would not want anybody to know about. But God does. And God knows our past. And man has willfully sinned against the Holy God. Man has sinned atrociously. Man has sinned deliberately against God. And how greedily we have run after our sins and in our sinful ways. And there was nothing would restrain us. There was nothing would stop us in our disobedience against God. And the thoughts of the past haunt many a soul. The question is there a power divine that can take away the guilt of my past? Praise God, there is. For the Word of God says, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. And when we bring them to the blood, listen to these words, friend. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Stories told of W.P. Nicholson. He was in a prayer meeting one night, and there was a man in the prayer meeting, and you know, he didn't know much theology, but he knew his sins were, you know, he was a child of God. He really was a child of God, but he was in the prayer meeting, and as he was praying, he was saying, Lord, you know me, and you know all about me, and Lord, you know the old sins that I used to be involved in. You remember those old guilty sins of the past? And he started to name some of the things he did in the past, and says, Lord, you know all about them. Nicholson could take it no more, and he says, would you shut your mouth, you old fool, you? God knows nothing of the sort. Hasn't God forgiven them? Didn't God say, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more? And he said, you old fool, you're remembering and reminding God about that which God has said. I've blotted them out. And God says, I remember them against you no more. And thank God, no sin of the past will shut me out of heaven. For they're under the blood. Freedom from the punishment of sin. God is a just God. And God must punish sin. And be honest before God, friend, listen. Man may mock, but let me tell you, no rebel will escape. You say to me, preacher, I'm afraid of God's wrath. Yes, friend, it's true that sin must be punished. But there is no need that it be punished in you. Because the gospel tells me that on the cross, Jesus Christ satisfied. He gave satisfaction to the demands of a broken law for me. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, praise God, I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And praise God. My sins, guilty, vile, hell-deserving, they were laid on Christ at Calvary. And I want to tell you, everyone was atoned for. Everyone, the price was paid for. And I want to tell you, Christ has discharged every demand for me. Freedom. Freedom from the past of sin. Freedom from a punishment of sin. Freedom from the power of sin. For God says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, I know, friend, listen. It's true, until we get to heaven, there'll always be some corruption that's left in us to struggle with. But praise God, we can put the neck of sin under our feet. They overcame him as a devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If the Son shall set you free, you're free indeed. But very quickly tonight. Thirdly, the incredible remission here. Listen to this. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Notice these words. The forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. Let me ask you, do you know your sins forgiven tonight? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, have you the experience of that priceless blessing that can never be purchased by us? That can never be deserved by us? That can never be given on account of us? The Lord Jesus said to that sinful woman who came to his feet one day, he said, woman, thy sins which are many. He didn't stop there. He said, they're forgiven me. And then he said, go in peace. Let me tell you the pardon of Christ, friend. The incredible remission, because it's a perfect pardon. Just turn over there to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Oh, we could go through the scriptures, friend. And what a blessing tonight it would be if we could just go verse after verse after verse. Isaiah chapter 43. Look at verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Isn't that a great pardon? Isn't that a full remission, friend? This is not a half-hearted forgiveness. Praise God, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Go to chapter 44. Would you look at the verse 22? I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. What a perfect pardon. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Thank God, it is a perfect pardon. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In Romans chapter 8 verse 31 it says, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then it says, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but he delivered us up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything? You see, my friend, here is an incredible remission. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Why, the devil's a liar when he throws up our past and he says, you can't get into heaven. Look at the guilt of your past. Look at the filth of your past. Glory to God. I say to the devil, look at the blood of Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. All sin is a perfect pardon. Who can lay anything? You know, the devil might look at us tonight. And the devil's crowd may mock us tonight and say, who do they think they are? I'll tell you who I am, friend. I am a child of the King. That's who I am. And I want to tell you, I owe it all to him. Because he got me in the gutter of my sin. And he got me in the filthy, miry clay. But thank God he reached down in mercy. And he didn't leave me there. But thank God he drew me from that fearful pit. From the miry clay, and he put a new song in my mouth. And I'm just rejoicing in my Lord tonight because I've got a perfect pardon. And it says, who shall lay any? Who? Neither man, woman, or devil, friend, can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For God has just has justified. I am just as if I never had sinned. Why? Because of the blood of the cross. And it's all because of Jesus. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 51? He said, wash me. Oh Lord, wash me. And he says, I'll be whiter. I'll be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. The incredible remission. Very quickly, fourthly, the incalculable revelation. Look at the verse again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's why I'm saved tonight. That's why I can rejoice. You see, it's not the character of the offender which is the measure of mercy. But praise God, it's the character of the offended one. The nature of a pardon depends upon the character of the pardoner. Who is it, friend? It is the Lord of glory. Listen, if it were pardon according to the character of me, I would never be pardoned. Because the Bible tells me that when God found me from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, there was naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I'm an absolute depraved, sinful being. But thank God, God in grace. Notice, according to the riches of his grace. You know, it's not according to the bitterness of our sorrow. Some people say, you know, I have to weep and weep and weep and weep, and I have to, you know, have an outward sign of a bitterness of sorrow. It's not also according to the strength of our faith. But you notice how we're saved? And you notice how we're forgiven? And you notice how we have been redeemed? Then listen, it's according to the riches of His grace. All the fullness, all the frankness, all the freeness of God's absolute pardon for man's sin. I'm rich tonight. And it's all because of Jesus. I'm saved tonight. And on my way to heaven and glory to God, I've got the riches of salvation. Because Christ paid it all for me. Jesus paid it all, and it's all to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Christ washed me white as snow. But there's one last wee thought before we finish. There's the irreversible reckoning here. Notice this word. In whom we have redemption. We have it! We have it! Glory to God, the man who believes and trusts in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're not willing to be saved. Glory to God, we are. We're not waiting to be forgiven. Glory to God, we are. We're not waiting to be redeemed. Glory to God, we are. We have redemption. No demon in hell will take me down to the darkest dungeons of the damned for they haven't the power to do it. Because I have something that God has given me, friend, that man will never be able to rob from me. Man will never be able to destroy. I have redemption through His blood. Oh, how wonderful. The irreversible reckoning. For thank God it can't be changed. The gifts of God are without repentance. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some years ago there was a wee woman. She was over 80 years of age and she was coming to the end of the journey in Oxfordshire. A little village in Oxfordshire. And the old Anglo-Catholic priest came in. He thought that he would have to open the gates to let her in to heaven. So he comes to the old lady and he came to visit her just before she died in her closing days. And he says, Madam, he says, I have come to give you absolution. And the wee woman just squinted her eyes and she didn't know too much about this big word. And in her simplicity, she said to him, she says, tell me, what's that? Oh, he says, Madam, I have to come to forgive your sins before you die. She says to him, tell me, she says, dear Reverend, would you let me see your hand? He says, what are you looking for? He says, could you let me see your hand? And the wee woman reached out and took the old priest's hand in hers and she said, you're nothing but an imposter. Imposter! And the indignantly looked at him and he said, what do you mean, an imposter? He says, yes, sir, you're an imposter because a man who forgave my sins has a nail print on his hand. His name is Jesus. Some years ago, Queen Victoria was on the throne. And Queen Victoria was wont to visit the humble and the poor. And one day she came to a lonely cottager. And in that cottage there was just a lovely old saint of God who was happy in Jesus. After some time, Queen Victoria just was about to leave and Queen Victoria inquired of the little woman, was there anything that you could do for her? And the wee lady, happy in Christ, says, I have all I want, thank you, Your Majesty. But Queen Victoria said to her, but I want to do something for you. Please let me do something for you. And again, the old saint of God says, I have all I want, Your Majesty. And then she stopped. And then she said this, but if Your Majesty would promise me one thing, I would be very glad. Queen Victoria looked down at the old saint of God. And she says, I shall do that if I can, said the Queen. And then the old lady says, oh, Your Majesty, if you would just promise to meet me in heaven, that's all I want. Queen Victoria said in the record, softly, but firmly, Queen Victoria said these words, I shall do that in virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, there's only one way there. Whether you be queen or whether you be pauper, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. With all my heart, I want to thank You for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for coming to the cross and shedding Your precious blood and dying in my guilty room instead and taking my sin and my sorrow and bearing it to Calvary. Blessed Holy Spirit, I want to thank You for bringing that message and that truth to my heart. And revealing unto me Jesus as the only Savior. And now I ask Thee, God, that Thou wilt reveal it to my friends that are gathered here, who are still without Christ. Father, save. As the Spirit of God draw the sinner to Jesus, the only way of redemption, the only way of salvation. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. Is there someone here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved? And tonight God has shown me the seriousness of my sin, but God has shown me something else. The wonder of the Savior. And by faith I want to meet Him. I want to come to Him. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we sing that little verse, O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, if there's one in this gathering tonight, father, mother, son, or daughter, you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus. I wonder as we sing the verse, friend, would you lift that hand above your head? Maybe there's a backslider. You say, I've wandered away from the Lord. Maybe there's someone, friend, let me tell you. And maybe man on the outward show thinks that all's well, but you know in your heart you're far from God. You're saying, Lord, O Lamb of God, I come. Just lift that hand as we sing. Just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one tonight in the closing moments of our meeting? Father, mother, son, or daughter, just in the stillness and quietness of God's house. Would you lift that hand right now, friend? I beg you in God's name, don't go on another night without Jesus. Sinner or backslider, whatever your need is, God knows your heart. Will you let the Lord take over? I come. Is that what you're saying to the Lord tonight? Lord Jesus, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not the final invitation. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul. Is there someone in the closing seconds, friend? Just lift that hand right now. Just raise it above your head to indicate that desire. O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come. O God, I pray in Jesus' name, give deciding grace tonight. Don't let precious souls go away without you. Follow after them. Bring them to the cross. For Jesus' sake.